air.com.
It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station. We're broadcasting from up here on Signal Hill in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is 53 degrees under fair skies. We are showing northwest winds steady at 12, gusting to 22. Mostly cloudy skies this afternoon with a high near 53. Northwest wind to 15. Just a chance of rain tonight before 1 a.m., then a slight chance of rain after 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy overnight with a low of 41. For tomorrow, a 10% chance of rain before 7 a.m., then mostly cloudy skies will gradually become sunny, with a high near 52 tomorrow, northwest winds to 15.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Senate Democrats are spearheading a vote to enshrine abortion access in federal law, but they're not expected to get enough votes to overcome a filibuster from Republicans who overwhelmingly oppose abortion rights. Still, the Democratic leadership said it wanted lawmakers to go on the record about where they stand. Here's Democrat Patty Murray of Washington.
Not only is the right to abortion at risk, but other important rights are as well.
Today's vote in the Senate is a result of a draft opinion recently leaked out of the Supreme Court that suggested the conservative majority was poised to overturn Roe v. Wade. This from Republican John Cornyn of Texas.
This isn't the Women's Health Protection Act. It's the Abortion on Demand Act.
A final Supreme Court ruling is expected in June. Inflation remains stubbornly high. New data out today show consumer prices are up 8.3% from a year ago. NPR's David Gurr reports inflation did ease a tad from the previous month, but it's still taking a toll.
Annual inflation remains at its highest in nearly 40 years. What's more worrisome for lower-income households is that the cost of basic necessities such as shelter and food continues to go up, even though gasoline prices came down slightly in April. That's proving to be painful for many households. Compounding the pain, according to today's CPI report, wages are not rising fast enough to keep up with inflation. Last week, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates by half a percentage point and signaled more hikes are on the way. And investors are worried those actions to fight inflation could tip the economy into a recession. David Gura, NPR News, New York.
The Biden administration's condemning a deadly attack on a Palestinian-American reporter who was killed while covering an Israeli raid. The Al Jazeera journalist was fatally shot. Her colleague was wounded. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports the U.S. is urging Israel to conduct an open investigation.
State Department spokesperson Ned Price calls the death of veteran journalist Shireen Abu Akleh an affront to media freedom. The U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Linda Thomas-Greenfield, says the Al Jazeera reporter was widely respected.
So I know that she will be sadly missed by all of us, and we have to ensure that we get to the bottom of her killing.
Israel says it's possible that Palestinian gunmen killed her and wounded the Al Jazeera producer she was with, but her colleagues say she was shot by Israeli troops. Ambassador Thomas Greenfield says the U.S. places a high priority on the protection of American citizens and the protection of journalists. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Ukraine's top prosecutor says the government plans to hold its first war crimes trial of a Russian soldier since the start of the invasion. Irina Venediktova said today her office has charged a 21-year-old Russian prisoner with the February death of an unarmed elderly civilian. This is NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
The search continues for 7-year-old Sawyer Sipola, who went missing near his home off Forest Drive, Three Sisters Way, Saturday afternoon. Sipola is autistic, and volunteer searchers were told he responds to the name Brigadier, or vocal howling. He also answers to the phrase, come on in. The Alaska State Troopers are in charge of the search for Sipola. A trooper's public information officer said members of local law enforcement, Kodiak Island Search and Rescue, Coast Guard Base Kodiak, and U.S. Navy SEALs have assisted the search. Canine teams from Anchorage and Matsu have also been scouring the area where Sipola disappeared. Nearly 1,000 volunteers have searched for the boy since he was reported missing, according to the Alaska State Troopers. Community members interested in joining the search can report to the Bayside Volunteer Fire Department. Organizers say prospective searchers must be at least 16 years old, able to hike at least 5 miles, and have appropriate hiking gear. Bayside Fire Department will continue to be the staging area for the operation. A Facebook page has been set up for any new information about Sipola. You can find it by typing Search for Sawyer into the Facebook search bar. Sipola was last seen wearing gray pants, an Under Armour brand camouflage hoodie, and hiking boots when he disappeared, according to the Alaska State Troopers. Anyone who thinks they may have seen him should call the Alaska Troopers in Kodiak. Their number is 486-4121. Alaska's Senate has approved a budget that would provide $5,500 in payments to residents and draw on savings amid a surge in the price of oil. The Senate Finance Committee originally proposed permanent fund dividends of roughly $2,600. That's half the total draw from the state's sovereign wealth fund. The total proposed payout to residents rose to nearly $4,000 after the Senate approved an additional payment aimed at offsetting high energy costs. Senator Mike Schauer proposed hiking payouts further to a total of roughly $5,500. The Wasilla Republican said the proposal would give the Senate room to negotiate the final figure with the House.
The history has been it gets negotiated down every single time. So that's the reason I'm saying that I want to see something higher.
Another big-ticket addition to the budget came on Tuesday when a coalition of senators proposed a $280 million package for improvements to the Port of Nome and Port of Alaska in Anchorage, along with road projects in the Matsu Borough. Democratic Senator Donnie Olson of Gallivan said the state's share of matching funds for an Army Corps of Engineers plan to upgrade the Port of Nome was a critical investment.
The Corps found that this regional hub, Port at Nome, has the unique opportunity to remote Alaska to improve the viability of numerous Alaska Native communities, strengthen the resiliency of the region, as well as serve as a critical outpost for national security.
The original budget proposed by the Finance Committee would have put away $1.2 billion in states' savings accounts, but the plan that ultimately emerged from the Senate would take almost as much from savings, according to estimates from committee co-chair Senator Burt Stedman, a Sitka Republican. Senator Jesse Keel, a Juneau Democrat, said he couldn't support the budget.
I can't call myself a good steward of Alaskans' money if we're drawing on savings at $100 a barrel.
The budget passed by a 15-5 vote. It now heads to the House. Representatives could concur with the budget or appoint a conference committee to work out the differences between the two bodies' plans before sending the budget to the governor. A burn suspension went into effect Tuesday for the Kodiak Island and the Kenai Peninsula. That's according to a Department of Natural Resources press release that was sent out Monday. According to the release, windy conditions and a lack of precipitation have increased the likelihood that debris burns could spread outside their immediate area. The suspension prohibits all types of burning that require a permit, including burn barrels, lawn burning, and brush pile burning. Drew Anderson is the lead prevention technician for the Kenai Kodiak Office of the Division of Forestry.
The grass models, it is showing Kodiak is in high fire to almost very high fire danger. And same with the Kenai Peninsula from Homer all the way up to Soldotna, showing very, very high fire danger.
Small campfires less than 3 feet in diameter are still allowed, as long as they're supervised and water is nearby. There was no end date for the suspension on Monday's notice, although it did say that an extended period of dry weather is in the forecast. The Kodiak Island Borough Assembly is mulling an end to some of its emergency rules that were passed during the COVID-19 pandemic. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth has this report.
At Thursday's meeting, Kodiak Island Borough Assembly members discussed rolling back the emergency orders that were passed in the early stages of the pandemic, like the formation of Kodiak's Emergency Services Council. That should have included a sunset provision, according to Assembly member Scott Arndt.
And as you can see, we've gone on for 2 years. So, and we've heard from the public, and this is the idea is to get this off the books.
But the ordinance in front of Thursday's assembly would have rescinded the group's ability to meet virtually. Assembly member Scott Smiley supported that measure.
I think it's really crucially important for assembly members to meet one face-to-face because it takes a lot to understand the full force of arguments that people make.
Others argued that virtual meetings are not mandatory and that rescinding the ability to meet virtually would mean the assembly wouldn't be able to do so if there was a future emergency. Assembly member James Turner said most of the input the borough has received hasn't been about virtual meetings.
When, in fact, the concern is really the declaration of an emergency. So maybe we do have to delve into this a little bit deeper.
The Kodiak Island Borough Assembly ultimately voted unanimously to postpone a decision until its next public meeting on May 19th. Meanwhile, they plan to discuss any revisions to the ongoing emergency order at Thursday's work session. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobroth.
A group of Alaska Native tribes, communities, and village corporations has won a $35 million infrastructure grant to provide broadband to their constituents. But unlike traditional infrastructure projects involving steel and concrete, this federal grant is aimed at equipping homes and rural health facilities with devices they need to take advantage of broadband. Nicole Borromeo is Executive Vice President of the Alaska Federation of Natives, which organized the consortium to apply for the grant. She says the first step to do is a needs assessment of the participating organizations, which includes tribal housing authorities and regional nonprofits.
After that, we are going to start to supply their tribal citizens, Native shareholders, low-income housing families, what have you, with bundled computer packages. And they'll be able to choose from a traditional desktop or maybe a laptop or finally a tablet, which is probably going to be more popular for school-age students.
Borromeo says the grant will also fund IT technicians and a training program so that the technicians can come from the communities they serve. The grant is part of the first wave of infrastructure projects coming to Alaska from the $1 trillion infrastructure bill President Biden signed into law last year. It is the largest grant awarded by the new Tribal Broadband Connectivity Program, which is part of the U.S. Department of Commerce. A group of Unalaskans marched in support of women's abortion rights on Sunday. It was in reaction to the recently leaked draft opinion from the Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito that indicates Roe v. Wade is on the brink of being replaced. KUCB's Theo Greenlee was at the march, and he has this report.
Sunday afternoon, and the sun in Unalaska is shining brightly in the blue sky, a rare sight on the island. Around a dozen people have gathered downtown at Chief Alexei Courthouse to march in support of abortion rights. They say the recently leaked opinion from the Supreme Court shows that Roe v. Wade, the 1973 case that established federal protection of abortion rights, is in danger of being overturned.
Obviously, it's Sunday, it's Mother's Day. What better day to come out and support mothers who choose to become mothers, women who do not choose motherhood, all different kinds of families. Like, we're just out here for everybody's rights.
Megan Faniff organized the march. She says she organized the protest as a way to defend a woman's right to make decisions about her body. She says she wasn't surprised by the leaked opinion, but still deeply upset by it.
I am not angry. I'm livid, and I will continue to be livid until the federal government makes abortion into the law, and that cannot be changed.
Onalaska resident Tammy Fowler Pound shares Fanuf's anger. Pound says a woman's choice to have an abortion is a private health care issue.
I mean, I don't know what there is to say about what's going on other than I'm raging about it, and I'm concerned about young women across this nation being put in situations that are going to be difficult for them, regardless of why they might need or want an abortion. It doesn't matter.
Many of the marchers held signs with slogans like "Keep abortion safe, legal, and accessible," and "Women's rights are human rights."
And can you tell me you're holding a sign here? What does it say?
My sign here says "Fishermen for Women's Rights." So I think it's important for the fishermen community to voice what they think is right and wrong.
It says, "Choose your own rights. No one can take them away from you."
Yeah, I got a sign here that says "Not Going Back," and there's an image of a coat hanger on there. And I think it really depicts where we would go if all this did go through and they took that right away from people to choose. I think abortion, back alley abortions, would still be happening all over the place, and that's definitely not a good thing.
The march was peaceful as the participants made the mile-long walk to City Hall, and they didn't encounter any counter-protests. Abortion is legally protected by the state constitution in Alaska, but some anti-abortion advocates see the prospect of an overturned Roe as their chance to impose limits. Governor Mike Dunleavy opposes Roe v. Wade and proclaimed Right to Life Day in Alaska in 2021. Some conservative advocates and politicians are urging Alaskans to vote for a constitutional convention in November, in part to limit abortion in the state. Fanuf says she organized the march in part to discourage the government from taking anti-abortion stances.
We are out here to be loud, to be proud, and to tell our lawmakers that we are not going to be quiet. And basically, thank God for abortion, a woman.
The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to release its final opinion on the case that could overturn Roe v. Wade sometime before June. In Unalaska, I'm Theo Greenlee.
The Alaska Democratic Party is very publicly cutting ties with independent candidate Al Gross. Gross is an orthopedic surgeon who is running for the U.S. House. In a Facebook post on Monday, the party called Gross a, quote, proven loser who doesn't share Democratic values but has the audacity to, quote, beg for your money, close quote. It even points out that Gross finished fourth out of five candidates running in a hospital board election in Petersburg last year. It's a remarkable takedown because 2 years ago, the party endorsed Gross in his run for U.S. Senate. That time, Gross raised a record $19 million and lost to Republican Dan Sullivan by almost 13 percentage points. What set the Democrats off was an interview Gross gave to the Anchorage Daily News this week in which he suggested he might caucus with whichever party is in the majority. Democratic Party Executive Director Lindsey Kavanaugh says delegates at the party convention in Seward this weekend were appalled.
We've sort of been sitting back saying, can we have a good faith partnership with this person? And he's, you know, made it absolutely clear that he is not a Democrat and that he's not going to caucus with the Democrats, or, you know, doesn't know at this particular point in time and doesn't see value in the people that donated to his campaign and worked for him last cycle.
The Gross campaign issued a statement saying political parties don't deliver for Alaska and he won't be tied to one party. Gross, through a campaign consultant, declined an interview request. The consultant, who spoke on condition we do not use his name, says the state party is mad because it's not making any money off Gross right now. Campaign finance reports from the 2020 election show the Gross campaign and affiliated committees transferred almost $300,000 to the state party. Kavanaugh, though, says it was the party that helped Gross raise the $19 million, most of it from outside Alaska. Meanwhile, Sullivan's former campaign manager, Matt Shukarow, says he's not surprised that Gross has angered the Democrats. Quote, He continues to try to sell this idea that he's an independent, but the reality is Al Gross is just a political opportunist who can't get his story straight. Close quote. Gross, though, has some assets that count. After a $19 million campaign, he's got name recognition, and he's shown that he can raise money. The consultant says he's raised, quote, a considerable amount, close quote, for his current campaign and will soon be running ads.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
Insight Daily Radio, conversations with today's most influential authors, actors, musicians, artists, and creative minds. Raina Goebel is an expert on student loan debt. The newly revised second edition of her book, Cliff Notes Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life, has just been released. We spoke with her about strategies for graduates who are faced with student loan debt.
The student loan picture has definitely changed over the last 20 years. I mean, it used to be that people owed less than $10,000. Now, the average is over $20,000, but there are also so many borrowers who have $100,000 in debt. I get questions from a lot of the people that have $100,000, sometimes couples that have $300,000 in student loan debt, and they want to postpone their whole lives. They want to postpone marriage and children, and they really don't have to do that because there are so many great payment plans, such as income-based repayment, that even though they have $300,000 in student loan debt, they're really paying based on their income, which could be $40,000, and they may have a payment of a couple hundred dollars as opposed to having to pay the $1,000 or more they would think they would have to pay if they did a 10-year repayment plan. So no matter what, the biggest thing that I always try to impart is that you don't need to be scared of repayment. You just need to figure out how to manage it and figure out what your payments will actually be, because your payments may not be the $1,000, $2,000 that you expect.
That's Raina Goebel, author of the newly revised second edition of Cliff Notes, Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. There's more online, insightdailyradio.org.
Do you need to see a doctor, dentist, or optometrist? Arctic Care is offering no-cost medical, dental, optometry, and veterinary services to anyone in the Kodiak community May 4th through May 13th. To learn more about the services available through Arctic Care, the location of services, and to schedule an appointment, go to kodiakhealthcare.org or call 907-486-9870. Arctic Care 2022 is a no-cost healthcare service program provided by the United States Department of Defense Arctic Care Innovative Readiness Training Program in partnership with Kodiak Area Native Association.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday. It is the 11th day of May, the year 2022. The sun rose today at 5:54. It won't set again until 10:19 this evening. That will give us 16 hours and 25 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 4 minutes and 17 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record low for this date was 27, set in 1964. Our record high was 66, set in 2014. And it's currently 53 degrees under fair skies. We have northwest winds to 20, gusting to 22. Mostly cloudy skies for the rest of the day with a high near 53, northwest winds to 15. For tonight, chance of rain before 1 a.m., then a slight chance of rain after 4 a.m., mostly cloudy skies, a low of 41 overnight tonight. Calm winds expected to turn to the northwest around 5 tonight. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up here on the east side at 5:14 p.m. That will be a 1-foot tide, followed by a high tide at 11:50 p.m. of 7.2 feet. Our next low tide will be at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. It'll be 1.5 feet. Over on the west side, you have a low tide coming up at 5:58, about 6 p.m. That will be a 1.9-foot tide in Larsen Bay. That will be followed by a high tide at 12:17 a.m. of 12.5 feet. And your low tide for tomorrow morning would be at 6:44 a.m. and be 2 feet. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkin at Kodiak's east side offshore. Northwest 20 today, seas to 6 feet. For tomorrow, north 15, seas to 4 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, we have a small craft advisory through tonight. Northwest 25, shifting to the southwest this afternoon. Seas 3 feet, building to 5 feet this afternoon. For tonight, west 25, seas to 5 feet. And for tomorrow in the Shelikof, northwest 15, becoming southwest in the afternoon, seas to 3 feet. The Kodiak City Council will be having a regular meeting tomorrow. That meeting will begin at 7:30 p.m. and be held in the Kodiak Public Library. The meeting is open to the public, and public members are also encouraged to tune in right here at KMXT on 100.1 FM. The meeting will also be web-streamed, and that link and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak's website. For more information, contact the clerk's office at 486-8636. Also on Thursday, the Assembly is having a work session that will be happening at 6:30 p.m. in the Assembly Chambers. On the agenda are the Kodiak Island Borough budget follow-up discussion, including service area budgets and nonprofit funding. They will also discuss the school district funding allocation. They will be reviewing the compensation study, RFP, and timeline, and there will be discussion of the manager's evaluation form. For more information, contact the borough clerk at 907-486-9310. Today at 3:30 p.m., the public library will be hosting its Lego Club. It's a drop-in program for youth after school. Kids under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. is preschool story time for kids 3 to 5 and their families. Story time is limited to 10 children, so please call the library at 486-8686 to reserve a spot. The library is open from 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Next Saturday, May 14th, the Kodiak History Museum will be having a Meet the Artists event. Natasha Zahn Priestess and Sarah Lowen will be showing their artwork, and you can come in and talk to them about it. That's called Kodiak Collective. Again, that's at 2 to 4 p.m. next Saturday at the Kodiak History Museum. Chiniac School children and their teachers and volunteers have gathered beach garbage and created marine debris flowers. These original works of art are on display at Kodiak's new plant nursery called Rooted. That's where Strawberry Fields used to be. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Come by and enjoy and contemplate where it all comes from. And don't forget about the blood drive coming up. The Kodiak Community Blood Drive will be happening between Thursday, May 26th and Monday, May 30th, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Alaska Armory National Guard Armory. That's located at 125 Powell Avenue here in Kodiak. To schedule your appointment, call Tara Cup at 907-654-9419. And on Memorial Day, it's the 34th annual Sourdough Pancake Breakfast. It benefits Kodiak 4-H, and it'll be held Memorial Day at the Elks Lodge, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. $10 for people 11 and up. Youths are only $5, and children under free eat for free. For more information, call them at 907-486-1503 or find the Kodiak 4-H Facebook page. And don't forget, Water Hall is still at the Kodiak Island Brewery. It's a fishing-themed art exhibit created by Homer artist Katie Birsch and produced by the Kodiak Maritime Museum. It will be there at the Kodiak Island Brewery through the end of the month.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.